Well, in the last 4 hours, more than 40,000 students have logged on to the CAO website to see what course they've been offered. So what should students do now that they've received those offers? Brian Mooney, Irish Times columnist and teacher, is here to make sense of it all. Brian, good morning to you.
Good morning, Miles.
But first of all, your reaction to the findings of the State Examinations Commission report, which concluded that staff cuts at the Commission contributed to the errors in this year's Leaving and Junior Set exam papers.
Well, obviously, you've got two conflicting problems addressing each other here. You've got the Department of Finance, in a sense, trying to slim down the public service, and the consequence of that within the SEC in a rapid exit of people who, you know, wanted to take the various packages that were on offer of, you know, pensions based on pre-cut salaries, etc.
Because it wasn't uniform around the public service. You could have got a lot of people in one specific
area. Exactly,
and
there was no control over it. So effectively, the SEC are saying this morning that they lost quite a considerable number of staff in this process, and that they are also stating this morning that as of now, they are absolutely confident that they can meet any of the challenges and needs for the coming year of students, and that they have staff in place to deal with all papers and all subjects. And they want to assure any students out there who might be concerned, you know, whether this is going to affect them in the future, that the problems that were identified in the report that was drawn up for the minister have in fact been addressed. They also want to state that if any candidate feels hard done by, that they should review their script on the weekend of the 30th, 31st of August. And if they find something in their script which they feel hasn't been treated fairly as a result of the errors in the paper, that if they send that back for a recheck, that it will be dealt with thoroughly by the SEC, and that if there's any further errors found, that they will be addressed.
Now, the most egregious errors were in the Leaving Cert maths paper.
They were indeed.
The higher maths paper.
They were
it?
Indeed,
yeah.
Yes.
And what was actually done subsequently to rectify that and to compensate?
What they did was they actually looked at all of the scripts and they identified 4% of papers where effectively candidates had been affected by the problem that arose in the maths paper. And every single one of those papers was looked at by a special senior examiner whose job it was to confirm the level of that effect and to check whether any additional marks were properly awarded to that candidate. And any script which showed that the candidate's work had been affected beyond question 8 was then referred to a senior management team who awarded additional marks to reflect. In other words, if somebody got completely thrown. And they actually went as far as comparing paper 1 and paper 2 performance. So if somebody's paper 2 performance was, you know, seen to be at variance with paper 1, that they might have been completely thrown, that was addressed also in the marking. And they looked specifically at question 1 to 7 and question 9 on paper 2 against a similar group, you know, to actually see what the effect had been. So they really did a lot of work to try and ensure that people who were affected by a mistake, they admitted it was human error, but I think they went, you know, as far as you could possibly humanly do to address candidates who had been affected by that.
Okay, well, that's last year, that's the past, and hopefully it's not going to happen again.
But please God, no.
This morning, 6 o'clock this morning, I'm sure a lot of students were up at the crack of dawn and they were logging onto the CAO website to find out how they had done. So there must have been a lot of pressure on that website, but that's something we'll address in a little while. What are students finding when they do log on this morning?
What they are finding are the consequences of two specific things. The first thing are the consequences of the changing pattern of application. I wrote about this in the Times in July, and I predicted pretty closely exactly what's happened this morning on the basis of the following things, and I think I've mentioned it here before. There was a growth of 10% in the application for first choice application for agriculture and food. There was a growth of 6.5% in the area of business. There was a growth of 3.5% in the area of engineering and technology, which also affected science. And there was a growth in the, obviously, applications for computer science. Now, on the base of that, I predicted in July that these points would all go up. And I also said that as a result of the fact that there was no increase in numbers of applicants in the area of arts, that there was a 7.5% reduction in the number of applicants to primary school teaching, and that all of the paramedical courses had application drops. In fact, pharmacy was down 17%, that there was likely to be a drop in those areas. And as of July, there were only 211 people in the entire country who put a construction-related course down as their first choice, I again predicted that all of those would drop. And obviously architecture, which is so dependent on the construction industry, also saw a serious drop. And all of those changes in student patterns of applications are actually the cause of what we see today, along with one other factor. And the one other factor is that now we have 58% more people who took higher level maths, and therefore in June, as opposed to 2 years ago, 17% more this year. There was 1,880 additional students took higher level maths this year. There was a 96.6% success rate over and above a D3, which meant, and I did a calculation yesterday, there are over 314,288 points in there. I'm, you know, a bit of a geek in this area.
Absolutely.
314,000 additional points.
That's a lot of points sloshing around.
Sloshing around
system.
In the system. Mm. So if you put those additional points along with the changing patterns, you get what we see this morning.
Okay, you certainly are a geek. 314,288
points.
Additional points sloshing around the system. Okay, just talk a little bit about the courses that have gone up.
Yeah.
Some of them not particularly surprising. Agriculture.
Well, again, with
food.
The 10% increase, if you get 10% more people looking for agriculture, we end up in a situation where the basic Common Entry Agricultural Science degree in UCD is up 10 points to 455. Dairy is up 15 points to 445. Forestry is up 35 points to 385. And Equine Science is up 5 points to 445. In the area of food, food science is up 35 points to 440 in UCC, 15 points to 470 in UCD. Food innovation, which is obviously creation of new food products, is up 50 points in the DIT to 330. Food marketing and entrepreneurship in UCC is up 10 points to 445. And food science and health is up 25 points to 375.
So some but some massive increases there.
Because,
food innovation up 50 points in 1 year.
Yeah, because what's happening there is people are looking, you know, they're looking at the levels of youth unemployment and they're saying, when I finish my degree, is there a job? And, you know, foreign multinationals may come and go, but, you know, from an agriculture and food perspective, they know that those jobs will be there into the future.
One area that had suffered as a consequence of the crash was the whole area of business and commerce, but they're now on the up again.
They were on the downward slope for about 4 years after the crash. People thought, God, there's no jobs there. But now there was a 6.5% growth this year. And you also have the maths bonus point effect. Like, even though maths isn't, higher level maths is not requirement for commerce, you'll find that about 50% of students who apply to commerce will have higher
that
level
surprises
maths.
Surprises me, I must say, that it's not a requirement.
Yeah, it's not. It's a requirement in engineering, but it's not a requirement in commerce, although you have to actually do the equivalent of higher level maths in first year commerce, so you need to get up to that standard very quickly. So you take that with 6.5% growth and the higher level maths bonus points effect, and you will see that it has an effect across the board. Commerce in UCD is up 10 to 475. It's up 35 in NUIG to 375. Business in UL is up 35 to 410. And it's also up to 440 in DCU. BESS and Trinity has stayed constant, but it is at 495 with random selection. Business management is up 15 in the DIT to 415, and it's up 5 in Maynooth to 430. Finance in UCD is up 50 to 475, and economics and finance in UCD is up 20 to 560, whereas accounting and finance is up all over the place. DCU 460 up 10, DIT 400 up 20, Maynooth 400 up 5, UCD 570 up 5. And business accounting in NUIG is up 20 and 440.
So the range is up 5, anything between 5 and 50. So modest or fairly colossal. Science, engineering, technology programs are up. Good news for the government, obviously.
Very good news for the government.
Because more students.
Yeah, because the government, Science Foundation Ireland, all of the organisations, the industries themselves have been saying we need quality graduates in this area. There was a 3.5% increase, and again, in the area of engineering, every single one of these candidates will have 25 additional points because it's a requirement to get into the course in the first place. So effectively, it's not surprising that you would see points going up. And you do, for instance, in UCD, the omnibus entry for engineering is up 15 points to 475. It's up 20 to 390 in DCU. Electrical electronic engineering in Galway is up 60 points to 515. Mechanical
That's a
engineering,
colossal rise.
Yeah, 45 points to 390 in DCU. And 20 points to 420 in UL. Civil, it's up 30 points to 460 in Maynooth, 10 points to 425 in UL. And structural engineering and architecture is up 10 points to 4.35 in UCD. And when you think that architecture itself is down by about 20 points around the country, that's actually quite considerable. And then moving to the area of biotechnology, the technology part, as opposed to the engineering, it's up 20 points in NUIG to 4.65, 10 in Manu to 4.25, and 5 in DCU to 4.70.
OK, and similar rises in science, computer science, sports science, but also law is up. That's slightly surprising.
And it is surprising because the actual numbers of law applicants is not up in any way on last year. But effectively, you see, you also have the bonus points maths effect. Whether is this particularly prevalent in law, I'm not sure. That was one that actually did surprise me. The first choices in law, as I say, weren't up. But, it's up 5 in Trinity, UCD and UCC to 5.30. So that's a 5-point increase. The BCL Matrice is up 25 points in UCD to 550, and law and business is up 15 points. I think the UCD are opening a brand new law faculty in a few weeks, and it's purpose built. And I think some people who are interested in law may have been attracted by that to apply to law in UCD.
There are nice photographs online or something. They haven't a swimming pool in UCD, but that's not necessarily the attraction that is open to everybody. Another big surprise was that the points entry requirement for journalism has increased. That's been falling away.
Yeah, it's been falling away because people, looked at the organisations like RTÉ or the Irish Times, where I do some work myself, and they thought, where are the opportunities into the future? And I think people are looking, maybe the success of organisations like Storyfold, where you're seeing social media and organisations in the area of social media, where you're getting real employment growth, and people are beginning to discern that with the skills involved in journalism that you can acquire through a Level 8 degree, that there is a real career path and real opportunities there. And if you look at it, as say, the journalism and new media in UL is up 30 points to 4.10, whereas DCU is up 25 points to 4.35, and in the DIT you've got up 5 to 4.05, and journalism with the language is up 10 points in the DIT.
And of course, the teaching of journalism incorporates new media to a much greater degree.
Of course
it
does nowadays,
it has moved on. Yeah. The subjects that are down, it's much easier to get into arts these days.
Yes, one of the things I think that is happening here is, the Institutes of Technology were set up specifically for the area, of the practical subjects, the engineering, the business, etc. But the big numbers are in arts, and a lot of them have, gone into the arts area, which in a sense is drawing applications away from the universities. And obviously there has been a falling away because people may perceive, I think if you look at what's happening in teaching, all of the arts degree subjects where you get specific courses that are aimed at teachers are all down. And I think that's reflected in arts as well. I think a lot of people see doing an arts degree as a road into teaching. And teaching has been hammered this year in terms of dropping interest, dropping numbers.
That's surprising because if you're talking about people looking at job prospects in the future, we've got a sort of a mini baby boom.
We have indeed.
It's going to be a growth area.
There's going to be a massive growth area. But I think people are looking at, that again, it's all about, the perception. People are talking about more cuts in education, more cuts in education. Since 2008, we've had a lot of salary cuts, and now we have an upcoming possible dispute.
I should point out you have an interest in this.
I do, yeah. There's an upcoming possible dispute. You've got the TUI and the ASTI, along with IFUT, are the only organisations outside Haddington Road. You've got conflict. And I think people looking at it maybe just veer away from this stuff. They think, oh, no, not that. But effectively,
it's short term.
It's very short term, Miles. I mean, as you point out, the number of births from 1 to 7 is 75,000 in each age group. And there are only 60,000 in the primary school sector, 54,000 in the second level. There is going to be a huge surge, and we're going to have these teachers. We're going to need new teachers. We're going to need new schools to be actually catered for.
So you're saying 15, 16 years from now, there will be 75,000 students
doing the Leaving Cert. There will indeed.
As opposed to 60,000.
In fact, in 12 years' time, because there are 75,000 7-year-olds.
Right.
So effectively, in 12 years' time, there'll be 75,000 doing the Leaving Cert. That requires a massive building programme. It requires recruitment of teachers. And yet we find, when you look at it, that arts, which is a huge, facility for producing teachers right across all the subject areas and in primary school teaching, you have had a drop off. I mean, the, you know, arts in UCD is down 15 points to 340. In Maynooth, it has dropped 10 points to 360. And in Galway, it is 300 where it went to last year, and it has stayed there. And in Cork, it's 335. So it's great news for people who, you know, thought that they had missed out on art by 10 or 15 points. They're getting offers this morning, so we can celebrate with them.
And teaching is down by how much? How much easier is it to get into Padstrom Conger or Mary Immaculate?
Effectively, there's a really interesting story here, because the points requirements for Pats and Mary Immaculate are down by 10 points for Pats and 5 points for Mary Immaculate to 460 random selection and 465. But the college that was the Dominican Sighinhill Freble College moved to NUI Maynooth and became now the primary school teaching faculty in NUI Maynooth, becoming the first primary school teaching faculty in the grounds of a university. And we've had a 30-point increase to 495. And you might ask yourself, why is it that, in fact, this has happened? Well, let's be honest. The vast majority of students who are taking primary school teaching are female. You know, Mary Hannafin a number of years ago tried to change that balance and that, but it is still primarily female. So if you go to Pats or Mary Immaculate, to all intents and purposes, you're in a girls' boarding school. Mm. Whereas now, having the faculty in NUI Maynooth, you're going to have these mainly girls students doing primary school teaching along with the rest of the population of NUI Maynooth, and they'll have access to all of the social, cultural and whatever facilities. So I think that may be an attractive factor, because something must be driving a 30% or a 30-point increase there.
30-point increase when the others are going down.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think NUI Maynooth have kind of hit a formula there with that.
Well, certainly the Dominican, the Freble College has hit a very interesting formula by moving. Nursing is down.
Yes, nursing is down. And again, there was a drop off in nursing applications. And I think exactly the same thing in relation to, we talked about the teaching situation. You know, there's the talk about cuts in salary. And then we had last year this situation in which newly qualified graduates were being offered employment on, was it 80% of salary, etc. And again, people are looking hard at this and they're saying, OK, are there real long term prospects? But the when you
Even
look
though
at
that disappeared with the Haddington Road Agreement,
you know, but then again, you see these decisions were taken back last December,
exactly,
and they were taken early in the spring when people were formulating. And it really is showing the short term nature of the decision making process of the year of 2013 or whatever. People are making their decisions based on what's happening now rather than looking at the long-term trends in nursing. I mean, the vast majority of nursing graduates are getting jobs. They're either going abroad and getting jobs and travelling and using their nursing skills and maybe coming back after a number of years. And yet looking solely at what's happening in the Irish health system may not be the correct thing if you actually have the aptitudes and interest for the subject.
As you said, construction, architecture, that's down.
Yes.
That's not unexpected.
Obviously, you know, again, architecture is down. It's down by 25 points in the DIT to 520, 15 in UCD to 465, 5 in UL to 375, and 35 in Waterford to 300. And, you know, right across the construction industry itself. The one area we haven't covered, obviously, is the medical and paramedical area. And again, in July, I looked at that, and you could see that everything was down. Pharmacy was down 17% in applications, and all of the paramedical areas were down. So veterinary is now down 10 points in UCD. It's the only college that offers it to 475 with random. Veterinary nursing at 460. Pharmacy is down 10 points in UCC or Royal College of Surgeons at Trinity to 565, 555 with random and 565 random. Physiotherapy is down 15 points in UCD, Trinity and RSI, but it's up 5 points in UL. And occupational therapy is down 5 points in UCC and Trinity, but up 5 points in Galway. Dentistry down 10 points in UCC and 5 points in Trinity. But medicine itself, there was a 1% increase in applications, and you see that in a 1 to 4-point increase right across all 5. So if you're interested in medicine, it's 748 in Trinity, 747 in UCD, 747 in Cork, 739 in RCSI and 739 in Galway, sorry.
Yeah, and still, I mean, very, very high points.
Very high points.
Liam says, why would anyone go for teaching when only a handful of contracts given to teachers at second level in the last 8 years have been for full teaching hours? It's been turned into a part-time profession. And Bernie says, science, maths and engineering. Good news for the American Chamber of Commerce. They control the direction of Irish education. They certainly influence the direction of Irish education.
And they create jobs. And that's what people want.
OK, in general terms, how do you deal with any offer that you receive from the CAO today?
OK, you may have no offer, and we can deal with that. We're coming back on Wednesday to look at other options. You may have two offers. In other words, you may have a level 8 offer and a level 7-6 offer, or you may have an offer on one. If you have an offer on one, you have a simple choice. You can accept it now, or it lapses at 5:15 next Monday. If you accept it now and you have a higher preference up their list, you will still be open for your higher preference. You can get it whether you accept or not. So accepting a place has no effect whatsoever about being offered a higher preference. If you're in the scenario where you've got your first choice on level 7-6, say, for instance, you've opted to do business and you've looked to do business and you've got your first choice business in the DIT, for example, at level 6-7. And you've got your 7th or 8th choice on level 8, which isn't a business degree, and you didn't get the points for it. And you're saying, do I take the level 8 in the area that I kind of put down but aren't really interested in, or do I take my level 7-6? And my advice in that specific situation, take your level 7-6, because if you take your business in the DIT at 7-6, if you do well in your first 2 years, you can transfer immediately into the level 8 course, which is maybe your first choice on level 8. So don't let snobbery get in the way of exercising your own self-interest. So effectively, you go online, you accept it, and you print out. You will get a postal offer today, but less than 1% of people return those now. 99% of people return them online.
OK, so you go online, you use the access code and the password.
Absolutely.
And take it from there. If some of the kind of questions that we normally get in, I didn't get offered my first CAO choice, but I have received one of the lower choices. So what do I do now?
Well, effectively, as I said, you go onto the Qualifex website, because the first thing you need to do is, if it's one of your lower choices, you may not have researched it fully. So before you decide whether you're going to accept or not, look at the course content. Make sure, is this something that I can sustain for 3 years? And don't discover that when you walk into your lectures, because effectively, then you may well drop out and then you're going to end up paying a packet of money next year to do another first year. So be very, very careful. If you research it and you find that, yes, this is something I could really live with, accept it. And if the points come down for one of your higher courses in round two on Thursday week, you will be offered the higher course and you can transfer it into it if you wish.
I'm delighted with my CAO offer, but I would like to defer my acceptance for a year.
What you do in that case is you write directly to the admissions office of that college today. You don't go next or near the CAO. You ask them for a deferral and you get it into them in the post and you write on the envelope, deferred entry. It'll go directly to the admissions. They will get back to you by the end of the week. 99% they will offer you the deferral. They will then deal with that with the CAO. What you then need to do is to remember to apply to the CAO again next year, listing only your deferred course. If you do that, you're guaranteed it. But one thing I need to point out, Miles, the offers to those people will be in the very beginning of July. And we've had a few cases of people who go away thinking the offers are in August, but as it's a deferred place and we don't have to wait for your Leaving Cert results, you get it in early in July. If you don't accept it then, you've lost it. So be careful.
Okay. Somebody texting in, advice on rechecking other subjects than maths. Could English, for example, be affected by a loss of experienced staff? This is back to the SEC question that we started
okay.
with.
Okay. Every single student has until tomorrow, and I want to emphasise that tomorrow, to return the form that was in the envelope when you got your results last Wednesday. My advice to you is if you didn't get your first choice offer today, if you are in Ireland next Friday and Saturday week, 31st of August, you send back to your school that form today and list every course other than your A1s. Because right now, all you know are the grades you got. You don't know the percentages. You go in, you can look at those papers. If you think you've been in any way affected by quality of marking, there is a form there that you can fill in indicating what your reservations are. That can go directly back to the SEC and a new person will remark your script and that will get you a new result. It will cost you €40 per paper, but if you are upgraded, you will get your €40 refunded. So yes, there is a real chance there, and about 20% of all papers that are rechecked every year are in fact upgraded. So it's well worth looking at.
Okay, another typical question. I got more points than I needed from my course, but I didn't get offered a place today. Explain how that can happen.
That can happen very, very simply. When you and I went to university, we had what was called matriculation entry requirements, and they're still there. And in fact, you don't get into the CAO point system unless you meet the matriculation requirements. But we've actually come across situations where people ask that question in previous years, and they haven't actually been sitting one of the essential subjects for the course they're talking about, and they weren't even aware of it. Or they may have missed the grade. For instance, in some subjects, if there's a language involved, they look for a minimum of a C grade at higher level in the language. So if you haven't got an offer, will you again go onto the Qualifax website, look at the minimum entry requirements for that course, and you will probably find that in your Leaving Cert result last Wednesday, you're short. Now, what you can do in that case, Miles, is this is the one case where you can repeat the Leaving Cert in that subject alone next year. And once you meet the minimum entry requirements, you can use the points you got this year, which if they're more than the requirements this year, are likely, but not certain, to get you into the course next year. So if you're short of a minimum entry requirement, you can repeat the subject specifically and just do that subject alone this year.
A dilemma I think that will be facing a number of people today. I've been offered a place on a course but cannot afford to accept it unless I qualify for a grant. When can I find out if I qualify or not?
Well, as you know, the threshold for grant applications was moved back by an entire month this year. The SEC put a date at the beginning of August for final applications. That was extended by 3 or 4 days because they had an IT problem. But they have not closed it. So, in fact, if you haven't applied for a grant, you can apply for a grant now, but you'll be at the back of the queue behind those who applied by that date. They are processing those. And I have come across many, many students this year who have been told by their parents that they can apply for courses within the commuting distance, because some parents and a lot of parents, and the survey last week showed this up, a lot of parents are actually not in a position to finance students living away from home. And for that reason, students have been restricted to applying for local. But the information relating to when you'll get a grant, you can now track on the SEC website the progress of your application, and you can see exactly at what stage you're at. So obviously, with a month earlier, let's hope that all of the teething problems, and remember, it was the first year for CDVC, and I know that Jacinta Stewart, the CEO there, has put a huge effort in to try and iron out those difficulties, and I would hope this year we won't see a return to any of the problems we had last year.
Do I have to pay a fee when returning my acceptance to CEO?
Absolutely not, and this is very, very important. You pay nothing now. The only payment you make is on registration, and obviously if you are going to get a grant, you know that there will be, you won't be paying those charges. The one thing that an awful lot of people are doing today, Miles, is they are heading all over the country to the town or village or whatever it is where they're going to actually be doing their course. And they're paying large deposits to landladies and landlords to try and secure accommodation. Now, if you get upgraded by the CAO, we've had problems in the past where students have been refused those deposits back. So I would ask people who are landlords of apartments, look, if a student does get an upgrade, you know, college is a very expensive process. There's no reason why you should hold a deposit if you're going to get somebody else immediately into the apartment. So we need a bit of fairness here, I think.
I have established or published points for the course I want, but have not received an offer due to random selection. What can I do now? Just explain the random selection thing.
Say, for instance, we were talking about 495 for Bess and Trinity on random selection. That means that when they got down to 495, they had, say, let's, and this isn't the Trinity situation, but let's say, for example, they had 5 places left and they had 15 people on 495. So how do you decide which 5 of that 15 got those places? When you applied to the CAO, you were generated a random CAO number, which has no meaning whatsoever other than it's your number, except in this situation. They now take those 15 random numbers and the 5 mathematical highest numbers get the 5 places on offer. The 10 people who didn't are now put in a queue again with the highest number at the top of it. And those places, if more places become available, are offered to those people. So it's one of those unfortunate situations where you're trying to be fair. And literally, it's like the lotto. You have a number, and if your number comes out to be a highest mathematical number. Now, what does happen, if you look at the first choice offers in the papers today, and you look at the second round charts next Thursday, you'll find that an awful lot of the random symbols disappear. Because the one thing the CAO tried to do, and the colleges, obviously the CAO were operating on the college's behalf, what they tried to do is they tried to clear the random lists for fairness. They can't always do so, but they do try.
Okay, you're coming back on Wednesday. What are we going to talk about then?
What we're going to talk about on Wednesday is if the CAO has proved to be a dead end for you and is going to be a dead end, We're going to look at the options. Tomorrow, the CEO is opening vacant places courses, which are courses that haven't filled. For instance, NUI Maynooth, for instance, I know, has a new campus down in Kilkenny. And it's first year for arts in Maynooth. But they're only operating the Kilkenny campus for the first year, and then you transfer in. I know for a fact that that's going to be on the vacant places tomorrow, and I think it's around 310 or in and around that figure. So if you missed out on Maynooth, if you're prepared to do first year in Kilkenny, there'll be places. But there'll be lots of other courses offered tomorrow on vacant places. We're also going to talk about PLC courses, which there are huge opportunities. And we're also going to talk about international opportunities. As we talked about birth rate, there's a very low birth rate in Europe, and some of the top universities in Europe are still recruiting students. And if you have a look at the UNICAS website, EUNICAS, you may see some of those, but we're going to go through all of those opportunities that are still open to Irish students to study in continental colleges this autumn, and we're doing that on Wednesday morning.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that, Brian Mooney of the Irish Times, and back to us on Wednesday. We'll take a break.